because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Happy Friday, as Miss Jill Metter would say. It is. It's Friday. I'm happy. That's all I can say. All right, let's check out the weather right now. 77 degrees at Beaver, 75 degrees at Alva, 79 degrees at Watonga, 83 degrees at Cheyenne, Oklahoma. Home of the secret weapon. Hot spot in the state right now is Eric, Oklahoma at 86 degrees, 83 at Hollis, 85 at Mangum, and out here in the panhandle of Texas, it's 82 at Lipscomb, 85 at McLean, 82 at Wellington, and 82 at Odell. Anyway, man, they keep saying 2 to 4 inches of rain next week. This is the professionals, not me. And so, anyway, just keep your fingers crossed, man. We could really, really, really use the rain right now. Cotton harvest is in full swing now in western Oklahoma, in the central part. Been going on down in the southwestern part. Haven't heard any results back from any quantities yet, but we'll get some. It's going to be touch and go, depending on where you're at, if you got it. It's been a long summer for cotton farmers. I really realize that. So we'll see how that's going. Peanut harvest, I'm guessing, is well over 50% done. Some digging, late digging, just got finished up this week. And harvesting has been going on every day. I know some people over around Eric still got circles to go. Some of my friends I help out are done or getting close to being done. And so anyway, quantities has been anywhere from 2,500 to 5,000 pounds. Just depends on what variety and whatever you got going. But anyway, it's not doing too bad. Pod rot has been in some fields and not in some fields. And I don't know. The deer and pigs have been in some fields and not in some fields. If you don't go that far, yeah, the deer... Everything loves peanuts. I'm sorry. I love peanuts. That's what I eat for supper out there while we're doing it. So anyway, that's going on. I know some fertilizer spreaders going up and down the road yesterday. People getting ready just in case it rains. So anyway, we'll see how things go next week. I think it's supposed to move in Tuesday night. Stay with us 3 or 4 days. The weather will cool down towards the end of the week. Into the 60s and then low 40s at night, but that's all right. It's good. Well, let's see what happened overnight in our ag world. Wheat and corn futures were higher in overnight trading as a weaker dollar may boost demands for U.S. grains. The dollar fell this week amid ongoing uncertainty about the interest rates. The Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell made dovish remarks in a speech yesterday, putting pressure on the greenback. The Fed faces the task of bringing down inflation while balancing too much tightening of monetary policy with not tightening enough, he said. Inflation is still high above the Fed's 2% target, yet data in the past few months have been good, he said. My colleagues and I are committed to achieving a stance of policy that is sufficiently restrictive to bring inflation sustainably down to 2% over time, and to keep policy restrictive until we are confident that inflation is on the path to that objective, Powell said in his speech. A weaker dollar makes good sold in greenbacks more attractive to overseas buyers and may boost demand for U.S. agriculture products. Soybean futures, meanwhile, were modestly lower in overnight trading as dry weather allows farmers to speed up harvest. 62% of soybeans were in the bin, up from 43 last week, and well ahead of the year average of 52%, according to the USDA. Wheat futures for December delivery was gained 3 cents to $5.97 a bushel in Chicago. Kansas City futures were up 4 3/4 to $6.81 a bushel. Corn for December delivery added 1 1/4 pennies to $5.06 1/4 a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery fell 3 1/4 to $13.28 1/2 a bushel, and it's come way up this week. Soy meal was up 30% to $4.23.30 a short ton, and soy oil rose 0.55 cents to 53.66 cents a pound. Let's see what's happening this week from the USDA on exports. Sales of corn and wheat for overseas delivery narrowed slightly in the 7 days that ended last Friday, while soybean sales increased, according to data from the USDA. Corn sales totaled 881,300 metric tons. That's down 3% week to week and 15% from prior 4-week average. Mexico was the big buyer, 260,000 tons. Guatemala, 147 tons. Colombia coming in at 139,000 tons. An unnamed country bought 121,000 tons, and Japan 102,500 tons of U.S. corn. Exports for the week, meanwhile, dropped to 516,000 tons. That's the lowest since the marketing year started on September 1st, and down 37%. Wheat sales fell 3% week to week, 632,000 metric tons, the government said. That's still up 42% from the prior week. China, the Philippines, unknown destination, that took 85,000 tons. Mexico purchased 70,000 tons, and Nigeria was in there for 56,000 tons. All right, so the text line is wide open, 580-225-9697. So if there's somebody out there listening that works for the USDA, and they want to explain to me what these reports mean, when it says unnamed or unknown, I don't get it. Are they like selling to, they obviously sell to China, so it ain't got nothing to do with being a communist country. So come on, let me know what the deal is on that. Soybean sales were reported at 1.37 million metric tons. That's up from 30%. From the previous week, and China bought 946,700 tons, Spain 192,000 tons, Mexico in there at third place at 152,000 tons, Japan took 84,000 tons. The total would have been higher, here we go again, but an unnamed country canceled cargoes totaling 85,500. What are the cash customers, or what's going on here? Exports of U.S. soybeans last week were reported at 2 million tons, a 39% increase from the previous week and up noticeably from the prior 4-week average, according to the USDA in its report. Wildfire risk high in Nebraska and even in Iowa. The risk of wildfires in eastern Nebraska and western Iowa today amidst extremely dry weather in the area, according to the National Weather Service. Fire danger will be in the very high category over parts of east central and southeast Nebraska. In the southern plains, meanwhile, temperatures are expected to reach record highs today. Temperatures in Borger and Amarillo, both in the Texas Panhandle, may see highs this afternoon. Record maybe at 92 degrees. It might beat that. The record in Amarillo was at 90 set in 2003. Might get beat today. The hot weather will give way to moderate to heavy rains early next week if the moisture from Tropical Storm Norma can combine with the moisture from the Gulf. An approaching low pressure system could help generate decent rainfalls for parts of the plains. Even the National Weather Service is saying it's going to rain. About that, but don't bank on it until it comes. That's all I can tell you. All right, here's my Jimmy Clark story for the day. So, first, don't believe all your apps on your phone, weather apps, because even the forecast for this morning was going to be like 50-55% humidity, and I'm bailing peanut hay. I need 75, 80, 90. I need 100%. It's better bailed in the fog than it is anything. Anyway, so I was thinking about not getting out of bed this morning. Well, I woke up about 3:30, let the dogs out. Thought, man, it feels a little moisture, a little bit more moisture in there than what the phones are saying. Because, you know, we're going off the Mezzanine Center, the Burns Flat Airport, at the airbase there, whatever. So I got dressed. I actually brushed my teeth before I left and went down there and bailing. It wasn't bailing perfect, but it was, the bales were good and heavy. And my boss that I'm bailing this for, that's his main priority. My bales better be heavy, Jimmy. That's all I can tell you. So anyway, I was bailing right along there. I got ready to dump a bale, and just as I hit the handle, the alarm went off on my monitor. E401. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Anyway, it's too late then, because I already hit the handle. So I stopped everything, PTO and everything, got out, went and looked, and baler door's about halfway up, and it's too late. There's wrap everywhere inside that baler, inside the, no, this is everywhere. Anyway, so I cut it with my knife. Left the gate open, eased over there to the pickup to commence working because I need headlights off the truck, and commenced cutting it out and doing all that good stuff. So it took me about 30 minutes to clean it out, and then, of course, there was some wrap inside the pickup attachment, so I had to take a shield off to get that off, and it was well after daybreak then, and the hay was, it didn't take long for that hay to dry out this morning, but I did get sneak in about 15 or 20 bales this morning. But so I closed the gate. Gary come by on his way to haul water to some cows and help me get the new baler wrap off the top rack. And anyway, I was getting ready to put it on, and I grabbed my handle, and it's really loose. There's nothing there to help me feed the new wrap in there. So I was sitting there going, okay, that actuator's not kicked back like it's supposed to. How to solve it? So anyway, I send this funny little video to my favorite baler and swather mechanic at John Deere at Clinton, Mr. Justin. Send him a short funny video. What's wrong with this thing? Anyway, he calls me back, and we're talking. And this is how good Justin is. So I'm telling him, I said, he said it's the actuator, you know, you go to channel 19 on your monitor to get it to go back into place and all that. And I knew all this kind of already. I was going to do it by the book, instructions out of the book. But I'd noticed this morning that on a John Deere monitor, you have an N in there. And when that N pops up, that means it's wrapping. And I noticed that some of that, that N was blinking sometimes, and sometimes it wouldn't come on until it was ready to tell you to kick it out. He said, let me look at that video again. Bam, comes back on there. He said, you need a new belt. Well, I learned something new about my 569 baler. That belt helps produce voltage that goes to all your switches and stuff back there to tell the wrap what it needs to be doing and stuff. So, by golly, I got me a new belt today. And anyway, but I mean, that's kind of cool that the mechanic just right off the top of his head is like, you need a new belt. How can he tell if that belt's worn out in there? And anyway, but he's that good. So thank you, Justin, for helping me this morning. So tonight, if I get to do any bailing or early in the morning, I'll be in top good shape. So that's how good they are. Any mechanic working for any company, whether red, green, blue, yellow, pink, or whatever, it's really nice to be associated with a great mechanic. So that's my Jimmy story of the day. And yes, I picked up all the wrap off the ground and threw in the dumpster. If anybody's wondering if I cleaned my mess up. Anyway, let's take a Wheeler General Store break. When I come back, I want to talk about the Wheeler General Store, and we'll talk about cattle. Be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
You've heard us talking about the 30-year-old ratchet that Napa replaced, no questions asked. A customer had a question about that particular transaction and that particular policy of replacing tools regardless of age. He walked into the Elk City Napa store and asked, "Do you guys really do that?" And the answer was, "We replaced two last week."
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
I want more time for the Jimmy Clark fans. This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, October 13th. I'm Drew Cobb. 2,205 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 461 brought 260. 5 at 470 brought 282. 10 at 557 brought 244. 4 at 613 brought 224. 20 at 760 brought 229. 3 at 772 brought 196. 9 at 839 brought 235. 9 head of heifers at 449 brought 249. 6 at 467 brought 244. 3 at 605 brought 224. 11 at 606 brought 224. 10 at 780 brought 220, 6 at 826 brought 210, 8 at 970 brought 196, butcher cows were 15 to 121.50, butcher bulls brought 46 to 119, bred cows were 800 to 1975, pairs brought 900 to 2485, Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095, that's 580-497-6095.
Hey neighbors, Ron Hayes for SEI Agritech in Elk City. You know, SEI is ready to help you with all your fall cover crops. They offer a multi-species blend that's great for grazing and hay. Plus, it'll help to address your soil health goals. So give the good folks a call at SEI Agritech today at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317. Or stop by and see them on South Randall in Elk City today.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
We're living in just such a world of automated. You call somewhere and you've got to go through how many buttons and numbers to get to someone that maybe might know what you're talking about. First National Bank, you call one phone number, you get to speak to me. The ease and convenience, I think, for the customer, and then just the confidence that they leave knowing they've built a relationship with their banker, the staff as well, that they can call on for help. I'm Laura Carlucci, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Okay, I'm getting some text messages from some really guys. I don't know what to call him. Anyway, we'll call him Bill Dance today. That's it, yeah, you got a deal for that, but I don't on this one. Anyway, I'm going to copy it. Anyway, so I'm getting ridiculed by somebody that says that the color of my machine might have something to do with it. And this is coming from a guy that has a housewife baler that makes the baby bales, round bales. And he wants to criticize my baler. Yeah, you keep making your housewife bales over there in Delhi. The rest of us will make man-sized bales up here where we're at, okay? Anyway, let's check out some temperatures. Let's go with Miami, Texas today. 86 degrees, heat index is 83, relative humidity is 17%. Dew point is 37. Nobody's baling hay over there, I bet. Winds are out of the south at 5 miles an hour. Gust at 7. Peak wind gust today has been 15 miles an hour. Month-to-date precipitation, 0.29 inches there at Miami. No red flag minutes or sub-freezing minutes today. 8-inch soil temperature, 64 degrees. All right. Oh, you guys are killing me. I got some videos. I got a Snapchat and video from the boys over there behind the high fence. It looks like they're about done with the peanuts there. So we'll be done digging. How about that? It's cool. Or they will be. I'm just involved. All I do is cause chaos on this deal. Let's check out some prices right now on the futures. Corn's $4.97, down 8 today. It was up really good this morning, but not now. March is $5.10, May is $5.18. Soybeans for November, down 13 at $13.02. January is $13.20. Soybean meal, December, $4.20.40, down $2.60. January at $4.10, down $4.20. Soybean oil is up actually about a half a penny or a little over half a penny. December is $53.74. January is $53.02. And March is $52.55. Hard red winter wheat is down a little bit, a little over a penny. Kind of unchanged, really. December is $6.75. March is $6.84. And May is $6.89. All right, let's see what's happening with cotton. Cotton's down again today. December cotton is at $82.33. March is at $84.51. And May is $85.64. And since we were talking about Bill Dance, he's in the red today with his sugar. March is at 26 cents a pound. So you lost money opening your mouth about my Baylor. There you go. Crude oil, West Texas Intermediate, November, $89.70, up 33 cents today. Almost back to the 90 mark. December, $88.78. Natural gas is down at $2.90 for November and $3.27 for December. All right, let's check out some cattle. Live cattle futures, October, $184.27, down 12 cents today. December's, the screen changed on me. December's $184.80, down a half a dollar. February's $188 even. April's $190.75. Feeder cattle for October down, they're taking a pretty good hit this week. October's $241.85, down $1.72 so far today. November's $242.40, down $2.10. January's $243.35, down $2.02. And March is $245.97, down $2.30. Lean hogs taking a good hit today also. December $66.42, February $70.67, April are $77.10, and May's $83.07. S&P. Everything's taking a hit today, even everything but oil. Dow's down, S&P's down, Nasdaq's down. Anyway, hey, there's a new attraction over at Sayre if anybody wants to go see it. I'm not sure what we're going to name this little pasture of Bermuda grass right there on the north side of Sayre National Golf Course and the where they have the Wild Plum Fest and the Dust Bowl festivities, and North Fork has their big, look, there's going to be some really cool, there's some really cool longhorns out there. So we're going to have to help Mr. R.E.M. name his herd, what we're going to name him, what we're going to call his place. Are we going to call it the Longhorn National? Anyway, we got to figure that out. I was talking to him last night, congratulates him on purchasing him some longhorns, and you gotta know he's an OU fan. This is a tough situation for him, but they sure are pretty to look at, he said. So we'll see about this. So we'll figure something out later on to talk about, because it's pretty cool. If you want to see some really they are beautiful longhorns, though, I gotta admit. Go by there and check them out. And it's hard for me to say this, I'm just telling you right now, it's very hard for me to talk about longhorns in a good way. All right, here we go. And I'm talking about the football team, not the cattle. Anyway, yo, get that straight out there. All right, let's check this out. I want to check some what some stockers and some feeders are bringing up in the northern part of Oklahoma. Looks like compared to last week, feeders are down 2 to 6. Lower steers are. Heifers are down $3 to $6. Steers and heifer calves unevenly steady with lots of unweaned calves in the offering. Demand was moderate. And let's check out some prices. Well, yeah, they were correct. A lot of unweaned calves here. And let's see here. All right, let's check out some stuff here. 375 steers, 296 per 100 weight, 423, 295. Also, some 416 weights we're bringing 303. some 5-6 weights. Let's just pick out one of these weighing 519, 288, some 6-7 weights. 657s brought up to 255, some 7-8 steers, 7-8 weights, around 247, 97 wind, 730, and some 8-weight steers, unwinged, brought 216, but then some winged ones brought 244. And heifers, about the same thing, 4-5 weights were bringing up to 251, 259, 269, somewhere in that neighborhood. The lighter weight fours were bringing up to 269, and the heavier weight fours, 258. It's not too bad. 5-6 weights, 265 was top end, what I'm seeing here, 561 weights. And then some 6-7 weights were bringing up to 241, weighing 233. Some unweaned 724 weights brought 212, and then some weaned 769s brought 233. And that's what was happening up in there. All right, Wheeler General Store. It's a busy day. Hey, I got a listener out there that's looking for bulk corn in the area. Let's go with Beckham, Custer County. And some of the places are already out of bulk corn to buy. You guys know of any place? Text it in to me right now, and I will announce it for Mr. West. He's looking for some bulk corn. Looking for deer corn, and I already asked Nathan over there, and he is completely out. But if you want to buy a semi-load, he'll deliver it to you. Looking for deer corn, the Wheeler General Store is fully stocked with corn attractants, game cameras and feeders, and much, much more. While you're looking for hunting accessories, be sure to check out all their different meat seasonings. Elk Creek, Meat Church, Traeger, just to name a few of them. Feed season is right around the corner. It's getting closer every minute. The Wheeler General Store has been a high pro dealer for 10 years. They deliver feed to ranches and stores all over the Texas Panhandle, Oklahoma, Kansas, and New Mexico. For prices, contact Nathan Heffley at 806-826-5531. The Wheeler General Store is located at 15868 Highway 152, just outside Wheeler, Texas. As always, they look forward to serving you. I need to give a ticket away. I need to get some tickets away. Now I got to look back at my text messages and see who it is. All right. Oh, anybody want to go see Chris Cagle tonight at the JC Cowboys? If you do, text into the Day and Ag text line right now, 580-225-9697. If you want to go see Chris Cagle at JC Cowboys tonight, I need your name. And just send me your name. First person to send me your name, you're going. How about that? I'll make it easy on you today. Let's take a Wheeler General Store break, and I'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
You worked and you sweat and you worried for months over your crop. So why are you giving away part of the profit to someone else? Cut out the middleman. Keep your grain on your farm. Keep your money for yourself. A grain bin on your farm will never depreciate as long as you use it, and it'll make you as much money as you want it to make. Store your own grain in your own bin. Wall Bin Hoppers. Take a look at their website, wallequip.com. Wallequip.com. You did all the work. You should keep all the profit.
Sugar Creek Casino presents Southern rock and country group, the Kentucky Headhunters. Live this Saturday night, Sugar Creek Casino's Event Center.
Let's all go.
Special guest, Artemis Pyle Band of Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Sweet home Alabama.
Kentucky Headhunters, and the Artemis Pile Band at Sugar Creek Casino. Get your tickets by phone, Players Club, or online at sugarcreekcasino.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale-per-hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call, 806-665-0677.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to the Wheeler General Store. Happy hour. Here is your ag weather from northwestern Oklahoma, and I picked up the big town, city, metropolitan of Slapout, Oklahoma. 84 degrees, feels like 82. Dew point is 38. Humidity is 19%. Winds are out of southwest at 6 miles an hour. And I heard somebody talking earlier in the office here. You know, the wind is going to be calm for the first time. I think he said he's ever said that. Anyway, 24-hour rainfall, zero. 10-day rainfall, zero. 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil temperature, 66 degrees. 1-day average, 10-inch fractional water, 0.7. Sunset will be at 7 o'clock this evening. Today, high of 89. Winds will be out of the west, 7 to 10 miles an hour. Basically calm for Oklahoma. Tonight, 53 degrees. Calm weather. Calm wind. Just calm. Tomorrow, partly sunny, 83 degrees. Northwest winds switching to the east. Coming out of the east at 7 to 14 miles an hour. So, anyway, hey, today was opening day of youth gun season. If anybody's got any biggins down, send me a picture on the text line, please. 225-9697. Anyway, I was going to say something about, I was going to give James Edwards a hard time today, but I figure I'll stay cool, stay calm. It'll be all right. You'll be happy to know I'm not talking about him. Anyway, you know, this is the time of the year. You need to be thinking about your garden next year. How about that? This time of the year presents a lot of opportunities to be very busy preparing for next year, the spring. The word prepare means to get ready or to formulate a plan. Farmers have to plant wheat and or crops for the next year. Our four-legged critters are very active, gathering nuts and seeds for the winter months. Some of our feathered friends choose to stay or fend for themselves while others fly south to the warmer areas. I'd like to think of this as the wisdom of being prepared for what is to come. Some of our weather forecasters have predicted a very cold winter here in this part of the state. our weather can be challenging. We all know that. Here are some suggestions for preparing our gardens for the winter and next spring. So you need to remove all your plant matter from your garden. And I'm talking about plants, tomatoes, the whole nine yards. And I'll get to the mulch part. I know what you guys are already thinking. Just bear with me here. Stay cool. Make sure all those old vegetable plants are removed. Dead debris, like limbs falling off the trees and stuff like that, or even the dead debris from your vegetable plants invites diseases and insects, okay? Chop peas and plants, bean plants at ground level because they're good. They're legumes, leaving their nitrogen-fixed roots in the soil to feed next year's crop. Do one last weeding. Weeding is more important in the late summer and early fall than any time of the year because one thing, they got seeds on them. Just one mature seed can produce thousands of seeds in the spring, so it's necessary to remove all your weed debris, even dead weeds from your planting areas. I see some guys, they burn those areas because some of, you know, one careless weed, I don't know how many seeds it's got on it. I'm just going to throw it out there, a million. It'll go a long ways to get rid of that thing. Plan a new garden bed or redesign your current beds with a vision for or map of what you're going to plant next year. And some people go, well, I don't know till next year. Well, get to thinking about it. Let's go. Get to cracking. No digging is necessary if you cover the area with newspaper followed by a layer of compost and another layer of chopped leaves. And some of these people have been going and getting cardboard boxes and cutting them up and laying them out there on your weed bed. I'm telling you, it works good. Anyway, so that worked good for compost. This will help with earthworms over the winter also. When spring comes, you will have a lovely garden bed full of earthworms. Use fall leaves wisely after the first frost. Rake a few leaves into piles in and out of the way place of your garden or your yard to provide shelter for overwintering wildlife. I don't know about that. Ask my wife about skunks and coons around our house. You can also place the leaves in black garbage bags, leaving a sunny place over the winter to make a very good mulch. Anyway, got leaves on the ground? Put them in your garden. Just throw them out there and get them out there away from the house and just do it. Protect your soil in the garden, your vegetable garden, with mulch, compost, or a cover crop to enrich the soil over the winter. Plant garlic during the October or November. The goal is to plant after temperatures have dropped significantly, but before the ground freezes. Around the 1st of November is the best time in this part of Oklahoma. Maintain your garden features. Remove all your stakes and support so you can wash off any soil, from them so they don't corrode. Then store them inside for protection against winter conditions. Fall is a good time to repair any damage to raised beds, rotting posts, sheds, or greenhouses. Here's what I'm doing this weekend, unless peanut harvest gets in my way. I'm going to go ahead and remove all my old vegetables, plants from the garden, and then I'm going to till it. And then I got a bale of rye straw. I'm going to till it, but I'm going to spread some rye seed in that, because rye is a great cover crop, right? It is. And because you want something living in your garden all the time. It helps. You want something living in your garden all the time. Puts out those microbes, and it's just cover crop, the whole nine yards. Then I'm going to cover it with rye straw, about, 4 to 6 inches thick. And that rye that I plant in the seed, when I till it, it'll come up. Now, I learned this, tilling the rye seed up, from these peanut farmers. They go out there, if they're going to plant peanuts the next year in that same part of the field, they go out there and spread their rye seed before they dig the peanuts. And then we come in there and thrash the peanuts. And when it gets rain, guess what? It's all messed up, tilled up. Everything's already worked in the ground. And the biggest part of those rye seeds will come up. So there's your cover crop. How about that? So that's what I'm going to do. And then I got a plan already for my garden next year. I don't know if pumpkins are involved because I didn't know my new garden was going to be a, I don't know, it's like going to football game, tens of thousands of people there to watch the football game. Well, these tens of thousands of squash bugs was there to watch the pumpkins grow. It was not good. I had never seen anything like that. I couldn't put enough. I'm not going to say what I did to it, but I could not put enough stuff on there to keep all these squash bugs killed. It's a bad deal. Anyway, let's take a Wheeler General Store break. Come back. I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Blair Tire and Feed is hitting the pause button so they can renovate. Blair Tire and Feed will be closed from October 27th through November 5th. Then they'll reopen Monday, November 6th, and they'll be better than ever. But even during renovations, they'll still answer the phone and service trucks will still run. So if you've got a tire that needs fixed, just call 580-563-2692. 563-2692. Blair Tire and Feed is shutting down for renovations October 27th through November 5th. Then reopen November 6th. Thanks for your patience. They'll see you soon.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And, well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
And I think that's how the majority of our customers will be. They understand what they're getting when they buy a Parker product. They understand that the quality is there, and you've got the Parker name to back it. We want to carry the best product that's out there. That's what Hydro King's going to bring. We're going to bring the Parker line. A lot of guys are driving to Oklahoma City to get Parker products, so that is our goal, is to bring the Parker products back to Elk City. It's been gone for a few years, and we want them back here. If we're going to get into building hoses, carrying hydraulic fittings and products, we wanted the best that was out there. In our mind, that was Parker Products, the top end of the hydraulic industry. Hydro King is located at 2821 West 3rd here in Elk City in the old Sears building. And you can give us a call, 580-799-7068. 799-7068.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long... not long. Man, that's a bad habit to break. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update, provided to you and paid for by Hobart Farm and Garden. Anyway, I picked Hobart. How about that? 84 degrees, dew point's 38, humidity's 20. And the winds are out of the southwest at 4 miles an hour. Rainfall total last 10 days, 0. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature 67 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water 0.1. Sunset at 6:57. 91 degrees today and calm winds. I said that twice today now. Mostly clear tonight. Southwest wind 7 to 8 miles an hour. 56 for a low, and tomorrow 91 for a high again, and southwest to south wind 6 to 12 miles an hour. So Kiowa County, you guys are all safe now. You can unlock the doors and get back to normal deals since JR, Mr. 101, is back in Ouachita County. So everything's good. He's on been on a roll, too, the last 24 hours. You have to get on Facebook and check out his live updates. So, anyways, pretty funny stuff. Okay. I had a couple of just short deals today. This is not such a good deal, but I wanted to, guys probably haven't read it yet, but a Washington man has been sentenced to prison for killing pigs at an FFA barn. He needs more than that. Lyndon Blackburn, 27, was sentenced this week in Austin County Superior Court. Judge Brooke Burns to 3 years in prison for killing a sow and two piglets at the Clarkston FFA barn in Clarkston, Washington. Blackburn was arrested on July 1st and pleaded guilty to malicious killing of livestock, second-degree animal cruelty, first-degree burglary, and 2 counts of second-degree theft of livestock. Blackburn was accused of stealing a roommate's rifle, walking to the high school barn, and killing the pigs in the early morning hours of May the 16th. According to the Lewiston Tribune, the standard sentencing range on Class A felony of first-degree burglary was between 31 and 41 months in prison based on crimes changed and criminal history. Blackburn was ordered to pay $16,380 in restitution to the Clarkston FFA program. The Lewiston Tribune reports he was also ordered to pay a $500 fine. Security cameras caught an unknown man at the time of the incident at the Clarkston High School FFA barn, shirtless and armed with a gun and 2 dead piglets slung over his shoulder. Court documents show Blackburn told police he did not remember the incident because he was intoxicated. Videos circulated on social media prompting an outcry from the community, according to local news reports. What a piece of crap. Anyway, what else we got here? Here we go. So, back in 2020, the great citizens of Colorado voted to allow wolves back in to be reintroduced into the state. As Colorado prepares to reintroduce wolves to the state by the end of the year, scientists and extension faculty at Colorado State University are being proactive about preventing conflict between people and wolves. Colorado State Center for Human Carnivore Coexistence and CSU Extension launched the Wolf Conflict Reduction Fund last year to support livestock producers with non-lethal approaches to reduce livestock losses to wolves. Initial contributions to the fund have facilitated 2 projects, trail camera deployment in an area with wolves in northern Colorado, and a knowledge exchange program with Montana ranchers. Okay, how's that going to prevent damage to the cows? But anyway, last fall, Colorado Ranchers Extension Facility faculty, CSU researchers, and state and federal biologists traveled to Montana to learn about conflict reduction approaches from areas ranchers in the Blackfoot Challenge, a community used to living with large predators, including wolves and grizzly bears. This month, the Montana ranchers in turn visited Colorado to continue to share their knowledge with Colorado ranchers and help educate extension facility who will be a resource for their communities. Most ranchers won't experience direct conflict with wolves, but some will, says Kevin Crooks, director of the Center Human Carnivore Coexistence for these individual ranchers. When wolves kill, chase, or stress their livestock, the economic and emotional impacts can be considerable, affecting their livelihood and well-being. Yeah, I'm sure it is. Crook said that the Wolf Conflict Reduction Fund is intended to support ranching livelihoods and landscapes where wolves and prevent harm to people, livestock, and wolves. He hopes to raise enough funds so that ranchers and communities can apply for grants to implement tools like camera, fencing, flagging, scare devices, guardian dogs, range riders, sustainable livestock practices, and training workshops. Grants will be selected and distributed by the committee, of livestock producers, extension facilities, CSU Sciences, non-governmental organizations, and federal and state wildlife agencies. We felt like there was both an opportunity and need for the Colorado State University as a land-grant institution to work with residents in the state to help prepare for them for living with wolves, Crook said. Well, here's my two cents on this deal. And there's a reason why I'm not a politician. Anyway, first of all, they put this to the vote of the people of Colorado. And it don't matter whether it's Colorado, Oklahoma, Texas, Wyoming. Okay, they put this to a vote. So we got people in Denver and Colorado Springs and other bigger towns around there voting on something that's not even going to affect them. So these people that are voting from the cities, and not all the people, but some of them, are the same people that stop at Yellowstone National Park to pet a buffalo. You get my point? They have no clue how destructive those wolves are going to be to those ranch herds up there in northern Colorado. They have no idea what's going to happen. So, you know, that's my first thought that comes to do. I'm glad these people with these Colorado State University is trying to do something to help them. But I don't know what trail cameras are going to do to you. Just tell you they're in the area. I guess that'll help. What's that going to do to prevent them from killing a calf that was just born or whatever? And the stress, I can't imagine what the stress will be like for those ranchers up there where the wolves are going to be coexisting with their cow herds. We got it bad enough down here with coyotes, and it's very rare coyotes will attack a cow unless she's vulnerable, like when she's having a calf. And it's happened. I've had them happen to me, but it's not an everyday occurrence. These wolves go around kill for the fun of it. Coyotes usually got to be pretty hungry to tangle with a cow. And just think, but like I said, the people vote. It's stupid. I'm sorry. Most of these people have no clue what goes out on the ranch and the farm, what goes on. They have no clue, and they shouldn't be the ones voting on it. And, any other state, the wildlife departments would be the ones, or the agriculture departments would be the one making the decision. But no. Let's let these people from the big city that have nothing at stake, except they want to look at a pretty wolf. And I'm not saying anything bad about all city people, but you know where I'm going with this. So anyway, that's my two cents on it. So I guess I'll shut up before I dig my hole any deeper. Anyway, it's going to be a beautiful weekend. You guys enjoy it. The rain's coming next Tuesday night, according to this long ranger forecast I just looked at. And oh yes, I'm sorry I didn't announce it, but Brian Greer, he won the tickets to go to JC Cowboys tonight. Thanks for everybody that participated in that deal. Free set of tickets. All you had to do is text your name to me. Anyway, hopefully everybody has a great weekend, and we're going to do a poll next Monday on the show. Join in. It's going to be a text line poll, no live calls, and we're going to see how you rate your forage inventory going into the winter. I'm going to take a poll, and then you guys are going to text in which one you're standing at there. So that's the part of the deal, and we got a lot planned for next week, and a quick winter wheat emerge update in 14 states. the top 14 states right now. A lot of them look pretty good. California doesn't have any up right now. Oklahoma, parts of Oklahoma, has some really good wheat pasture going right now. And anyway, it's saying here that the Nebraska has showed that 84% of their winter wheat in Nebraska has already emerged. So anyway, have a great weekend. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, and God bless.